It's Thursday. I've given up on guessing the day, 2018, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 226, Cheap Death Man. Runtime for this episode is 58 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the show about giant robots and I guess regular sized robots too. My name is Jeremy.
Wielding the power of shotgun plant, I'm gonna say Fern Tyler.
The hell?
It's a Mega Man boss. It was a really half-assed Mega Man boss because I came up with it on the fly and I decided shotgun ice, but not ice.
Okay.
Who are you?
My name is Zach.
You missed the perfect chance for the "Who the hell do you think I am?" joke.
Yeah,
I did. You're right. Oh man,
we can retake that. We have the power of cutting that line.
No,
he missed it.
I missed it.
So we played Mega Man 3 this week, but the Roman numerals Game Boy one, not the original.
Wait, we did?
Look, Jeremy played. Oh God, life is crashing around you. It wasn't great.
I know. I got to hear about a lot of it.
It's a bad game.
Yeah,
I've had that happen a lot recently. So.
It's not my favorite.
It usually involves lots of scotch.
I only got to play 20 levels of Super Robot Wars.
Only 20 levels?
Well,
look, the first I was supposed to have the weekend entirely to myself.
Okay.
The first one ended after like 70, I think.
It's 53.
Is it? Okay.
The V, specifically. And I think this one is similar in length. 50 levels and then an endgame.
I think I'm at like 30-odd.
Because 50 is usually how long a season of anime is. Or how it used to be. Now they're usually like 25. But most of these mech shows are 50-episode series.
Well, it's because they're usually done in two seasons, and you can usually see the break.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times now, it's a very obvious break.
Although Code Geass is getting a magical third season, I'm excited.
Zach is dreading it.
I mean, you're
it.
Twitching, but it might be amazing.
It might be amazing. I'm just... The reason I'm so worried about it is because that series ends so perfectly. It didn't need to have another part duct-taped onto it, and especially not with Lelouch alive.
Well, oh, is he alive in the third
series? The series is called Lelouch of the Resurrection.
Okay.
So, I guess he's a Jesus?
I've seen one of, like, the trailers and Lelouch is in it.
Although, I just imagine a series of a bunch of people treating Lelouch like he's Jesus after his death and forming a religion around him and having a bunch of apostles, and that sounds rad.
Although, like, depending on how they do it, they could easily explain why he comes back. It's not actually
it
that hard.
It could just be someone's geese.
Yeah. Is it their geese?
Oh, geese, I know. I always said that word geese in my head. Okay. So.
No, like, he, for those who don't know, the people who can give out geese are basically immortal. So, and the only way they can die is if somebody takes the code that they have that lets them do that. So Lelouch could take the, I think, V2, I think was the dude's name.
There might be others. From Jupiter, I guess? They're from Jupiter, right? That's the implication?
I don't think so. I don't remember where they're supposed to be.
There's that one flashback where they're, like, killing all the people in, like, all the kids in the underground place.
That's not a flashback. Lelouch
well,
just
no,
does that.
There's a flashback when that is happening. Okay. That implies that they're from Jupiter, I think. I'm not entirely sure.
It's left kind of ambiguous as to where exactly the powers of Geass came from.
So I learned that word from playing Dungeons & Dragons
way back
in the day. And as far as I can tell, like, I have not been able to find a definition for this word on the internet. I have always assumed
really? I've seen it.
That, like, it's a compulsory order that you must follow to completion.
Oh,
right?
Gesh?
But yeah, so the problem is, it's an old Gaelic word, and there are 5 million anglicizations of it, and I'm not sure which one is the canonical spelling.
A Google Translate pronounces it haste.
Nice.
Which is, like, even
I think
more
I think I heard, fire. I think that was a, I think that pronunciation was from an audiobook. I think it might have been one of the Iron Druid books, or one of the Dresden books, I can't remember. Pronounced it Gesh, but I'm not entirely sure. Geass, though, is spelled slightly differently because they have another S.
Yeah, so it would have had to have been, it would have had to have been the Dresden Files, because I listened to all the Iron Druid books, but I read all the Dresden File books, and I've never heard it pronounced that way, so I'm assuming it's Dresden. When did someone place a Geass on someone in Dresden?
The donut one, I assume.
Yeah, I assumed it was the goats.
This conversation sounds great to people who don't know what we're talking about or how we got on this.
Yeah, hey guys.
Watch Code Geass and read the Dresden Files.
And also the Iron Druid, but maybe skip the first one? It's
you
not
can,
as good.
You can take or leave the Iron Druid.
Yeah, it's pretty meh.
I did realize why I hate that series so much, but I don't want to go all the way into that on the mics.
So speaking of series we don't hate, Zach and I have been playing Super Robot Wars X.
Oh, this is so much fun.
Which is about all the series you love with giant robots in it happening at the same time.
Plus, the main character is a wizard. And his mech, I thought it was lame because I thought it was a wizard mech, like it was a mech designed to be like a wizard. But it's a wizard mech, and that it's just a tool for him to cast his magic.
It is
I
was
totally a giant this. Robot.
It is your wizard's staff. Suck on that, Gandalf, and your dinky little stick or Dumbledore and your freaking wand.
You may be Gandalf the White, but I am Eric the Transforming.
I just got an image of Harry Potter. Like, I have my wand. Where's yours? It doesn't fit indoors.
Like a mech comes down from a drop.
Let me call my familiar to bring my mech over to me.
You also have an asshole familiar who is just interested in watching the pain of humans.
Oh, they missed such an opportunity. What if your familiar was also your mech?
That would be cool, too. He's just your co-pilot.
That's also okay. I don't know. I feel like I like living robots or
They're
living
cool.
robot suits. That's kind of why I like Eva. The one redeeming quality of Eva is that it has living robots.
I thought it was all the weird Christianity stuff that you're trying to figure out how much you're supposed to read into.
Yeah, also a little bit, I feel like they just kind of chose that because it was a cool theme and they did nothing with that theme.
Yeah, but I think that they're very happy that like people pick up at it so much.
Yeah, they're angels, but like none of them have anything to do with Christian mythology.
And the Japanese word they use is actually apostle.
Oh.
But they insisted it be angel in the dub, and you like when you see the random English on them, it says angel.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yes.
Anyway, Super Robot Wars.
It's amazing.
So, I mean, we're talking about it for like 15 minutes off the mic, but it sounds incredible. And it's got Gurren Lagann, which is pretty hype.
This one has Gurren Lagann in it. Crossange comes back, which I'm okay with. And I like that they didn't just re-put in the story that they did in the... Like, the major story beats for Crossange show up again, but it's not just, like, playing through the series like V was. Granted, I'm okay with that. I like Crossange, but...
But you don't want to see the same plot again, right?
Yeah, I want it... Well, I mean, you still see basically the same plot, because, like, it hits all the major beats, but at the same time, it's different enough that I'm interested to see how these other characters interact with it.
Yeah, my criticism of it is it starts really slow. Like, the world you're on... The only worlds it has is Gurren Lagann and Crossange, and there are a bunch of wizards in the middle making sure they never interact, and people from all these different worlds start coming, and it's not until much later that you start figuring out how those worlds tie together in cool and interesting ways. Like when Banjo's like, oh yeah, you know, on my world there were three major factions fighting a war. Oz, the White Fang, and the Holy Britannian Empire.
Yeah,
and the Black Knights kept screwing everything up.
He gives like this long history of what's been going on in their world, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the
Gundam Wing
character. that's Gundam Wing, and what's it called? And this other thing, and Aura Battler. Okay, whatever. And then it's like, but then the Holy Britannian Empire started taking over. Like, wait, what?
There's this dick named Emperor Lelouch. So Miliardo Priestcraft tried to drop a colony on him.
Yeah, well, man, I didn't realize how much I wanted that in fiction. That sounds amazing.
Yes, like there's so much about the Super Robot Wars series that you don't realize that you really wanted that until after they've already done it.
I want, what's his name, Zex? Is that what he goes by at the beginning of the series?
That's what he's going by in this series.
Zex Marquis?
Well, because he goes by Zex, and then for a little while when he's trying to be a decent human being in Wing,
he
goes by
his
Miliardo.
Actual name.
And then he's like, you know what, screw that, I'm going to be a dick. He goes back to Zex.
Yeah, I want Zex leading the White Fane against the Holy Britannian Empire led by Emperor Lelouch. God Emperor Lelouch, I'm sorry.
Lelouch wins that fight, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, clearly, yes, Lelouch wins that fight, but I want to see it happen, because it would be awesome. And then he would be all angsty about the tragedy of the colony drop, and oh man.
Lelouch really doesn't do angsty very much. He has a couple of serious breakdowns, but he's not like Kira levels of angst.
Okay, yeah, maybe angsty is not the right word. He has serious psychic breaks.
Yeah, I can't wait until the anti-spirals show up and try to get Lelouch to give in to despair.
Because I feel like that would be pretty easy.
Yeah. So.
I actually...
Well, at this point where he is, maybe not. Everything seems to be going okay for him.
The things that would
coming up Lelouch.
The things that actually lead him into despair are like finding out he's been trying to kill Suzaku the entire time, and the fact that he nearly killed his sister, or he thought he did kill his sister. That's really it. Or I guess when Shirley dies, but it's when people very close to him die. He doesn't really do despair anywhere else.
That's true. He questioned his own moral or the implications of his own actions at some point. He was really not happy with the whole Yuffie thing. He was not okay with that.
But again, that goes back to him.
That was a major psychic break, though. He was just really sad about that.
Yeah, but this is kind of a spoiler for Zach, because he didn't go down this route. where there's a bit where the...
Oh, there are multiple routes?
Yeah.
Yeah, every so often you'll come up to a point where you get to a branching story. So you'll go... One people will go down one... Or half your characters will go one way, the other half will go the other way. The first one is like, okay, we're going to send some people down to scout the Mitsurugi Empire, which is the empire from Crossange. And then it's the other team to go engage this Doactar army. So I'm like, I did all the Crossange stuff and whatnot in V. So I'm going to go the other way so that I don't interact with Crossange for a little while. And it's like, surprise!
So if I were to draw this as a flowchart, are they diamond branches where they disconnect and then reconnect?
Or yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's not like bifurcating.
Only at the very end. There's like a secret ending and a regular ending.
Okay. That makes it easier to just do like two playthroughs and see all the content if you're into that.
Depends. Yeah. Some of them in like V, there were three branches on a couple of instances.
I don't think there are any in this game, but I don't know that for sure.
But I like these games. I don't mind going back through, although I am not really looking forward to going through as the other character.
You played V two or three times, right?
I am currently still working through my third playthrough of V.
Yeah.
But the two characters you can pick from are like the most generic of generic male looking protagonists.
You can pick Jug of Milk or Anime Girl.
And just from a character design standpoint, I went with the girl, even though Jeremy had said, Zach, please play the other one. This character actually looks like it has character just based on the character design. Whereas the other guy's like, is this a character or is this a piece of white bread? I'm not entirely sure.
All right, so I'm assuming it plays to fruition in terms of the stereotypical he is a piece of white bread premise.
I mean, he's there. He's like, justice is cool. I want to learn stuff because I'm a wizard.
That's fair. So I have to ask then, what on earth motivated you to not pick Anime Girl over...
because it said she was timid and the familiar was an asshole, and I didn't want to have this girl being harassed by this raven asshole the entire game.
Technically, he's more of a parrot.
And I really didn't like her hairstyle.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I, A, did like her hairstyle, and B, I'm like, a timid character. That implies they're probably going to do a character arc of some kind in here.
There might be growth that happens.
There might be character growth. And the other one just, again, it's back to the why I picked the chick. One of the reasons why I picked the chick in V is like, here's the stereotypical anime protagonist dude. Yeah, not interested.
So anyway, this is a slight spoiler for Zach, but if you go the other way, the way that isn't Crossange, even though it takes place in the Crossange lands, there's this bit where the main character of Reconista and G has this like deflection beam pack, but it needs to charge up by being hit by beams, and he doesn't have enough energy to block, to defend the city. So the silhouette shows up and is like, hey, can you absorb any beam? And I'm like, I recognize that silhouette. And then Hiro Yui starts shooting the buster rifle at him. And it is rad.
Well, like, after I did that branch, and then when I came back together, they were like, by the way, we got all the Gundam Wing characters. And I'm like, aww. Then I tried to use Sandrock, and it didn't go well. I tried to use Sandrock and Heavy Arms, and...
Well, if you're worried that Heavy Arms doesn't have an attack called Fire Everything, you don't need to worry.
Yeah, I think it literally is Fire Everything. Or it's either that or like All Out Attack.
No, it's Fire Everything.
Like, okay, good. I couldn't remember if it was.
I was going to say, I want to say in a lot of the Gundam fighting games, that's called All Out Barrage or something.
Or Full Barrage.
He has 4 ammo for it.
I fired everything, but wait, no I didn't.
Somehow he has more ammunition.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 5 shots or 300? Well, ask yourself, are you feeling lucky, punk?
The answer is, I have more ammo, so go screw yourself.
The answer is, I have C2 come up in your Lancelot and give him more guns.
Not more ammo, just more guns.
Yes.
Yeah, so
it's more
like,
efficient that way.
There are actually, I feel like, more support units in X than there were in V, because in V, I can only really remember the Tusk as a dedicated support unit.
There are others. I'm having trouble thinking of them now, but I know. There's always Koji's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
This one as well.
And the Minerva.
The Minerva, yeah. This one you got the tank from. There are a ton of them. They just gave the Taurus repair ability so it can be useful. Yeah, Noin is hanging out with all the Gundam pilots.
Yeah, Noin, for whatever reason, Noin is there.
She's in Endless Waltz.
True. I think she's in Endless Waltz more than Zex is, actually.
My pilots will never die.
Yeah, that is like my favorite part of the that whole deal is my pilots will never die. Literally 1 minute, 30 seconds later. The series is a lot of fun. There's a lot of different pilots and just watching how they combine things, even though they did it a little bit lazy in V and X, where it's not everything is happening in the same universe. They're branching, they're connected by different ones. Me and Jeremy have different characters that we like. Like I'm using all the I'm using the Buddy Complex characters. He's not. I'm using the Code Geass characters. He's not.
I'm using some of them. I'm using C2 and Lelouch. And Suzaku's like right on the bubble trying to get in there.
Whereas Colin and Suzaku are two of my top aces. And Lelouch is like, I have the world's largest AoE attack. It's like halfway across the map. And it's
what is it, out of curiosity? Does he just set up a bunch of bombs? Just like, ah, those were there all along.
No, he fires a charge from his mech. He's got the one he has at the very end of the series, the Shinkuro.
Yeah.
So it's he doesn't have the Gawain and it's double pilot.
So his job for me is mostly to jump in front of people with his absolute defense system and to give orders. Because he's got special ability to give orders.
Oh, nice. Presumably gives him some sort of benefit.
He's got three. He's got a risky plan, which is lowers your defense but greatly increases your attack, and then attack plan and defense plan.
They actually did a little bit of that for the other ones, because like your character has a special ability called Dogmas because they're a wizard, and they do some special things. One of the things that they changed is you can no longer use Valor and Soul at the same time.
Oh.
I have no idea what that means.
One of them increases your damage by 50%, and the other increases your damage by 100%.
The thing is, they made them more powerful, because I think Valor doubles your damage and crits, and Soul multiplies it by 2.2.
And now we have Resolve, which gives you 5 EX points, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of that. The series, at least in some of them, are a little bit less recognizable, like Buddy Complex. Like, Tyler didn't even know what that one was.
Well, a lot of that is because they're big in Japan and never came here. Like, Wataru, who's kind of the main plot, never came out in America.
Yes, I haven't heard of most of these.
Aura Battler didn't come out here. Code Geass, Gurren Lagann, and
Cross Hands
Gundam Wing, I think, are the...
The big three?
The ones for the Western audience.
I know Cross Hands did get a Western release, but it's not as big.
I know people who have seen it, but...
Yeah.
Are they all anime nerds, though?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Although I encounter a lot of them. I think people our age might just watch anime.
I think that's true.
That's what I'm beginning to learn.
Like, not everyone I know.
When, this guy gets transferred to our store for 2 weeks, and he's like, what do you do? I'm like, play video games, I watch anime. He's like, are you watching Darling in the Franxx? I live in this world now. Great.
I really need to catch up on that series, because I ran across, a news thing that it was just, I want to make a baby, and I'm like, wait, what? What have I been missing in this series?
Darling the Franxx is real, real good.
Because there's three series that I need to catch up on. Darling in the Franxx. I want to watch High School DxD because that series is so damn dumb. And I want to watch Full Metal Panic. I just keep getting sidetracked whenever one of those comes up because I don't want to try and watch something subbed while also playing something that's predominantly a visual novel.
Yeah.
And I don't have what I used to do when I was trying to watch stuff. At the same time, when I was watching sub things and playing video games, I was playing baseball because I don't need to pay attention all the time to baseball.
I play Dynasty Warriors for that.
I actually do have a Dynasty Warriors for my PlayStation 4. I need to finish BattleTech, but I wanted to finish Super Robot Wars because it is a fun, lighthearted version of mecha stuff. I don't know if I mentioned it, but the characters are all diverse enough that the fact that whenever they interact with each other, it's fun interactions and stuff. Even when it's super duper serious, you have the characters like Wataru and Maito from Might Game being like, we can win this, guys, and everybody else going, well, I guess if they think we can, I think we might be fine.
Yeah, another route split I don't think you took. The character from Rikunisa and G finds out that the girl he has a crush on is his sister. Spoilers.
Yeah, I didn't take that one, but I did. They did mention it.
But after that revelation, the next level, instead of his regular combat dialogue, all his lines are just, I can't believe she's my sister. That's what I do. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Because the entire reason why this guy apparently signed on to go with this ship was because he had a crush on this chick. So there's the...
Oh, that's great. It sounds like there are a lot of fun beats in this game, actually.
Look, Hiro Yui just tells Shar Aznable he'll kill him.
And then tries to.
It feels real good. Like, every time that Hiro Yui has a specific line regarding a character, because, his generic thing is a target lock commencing attack, but a lot of times it'll be target, Alfred someone. There are sometimes characters that are from entirely other series that he wouldn't know, and just, Shar Aznable, I'll kill you, before flying up to Buster Rifle him. Damn, that's cool. And of course, it doesn't work. It doesn't take. You can't kill Shar Aznable that easy. He's got to join your team later.
I always try and have the appropriate characters deliver the finishing blow, at least, for the bosses. Although I've accidentally killed bosses with the wrong character before. Not because it actually matters, but because, like, it's just kind of... Especially when it's like, we're going to duel, and then I have somebody else come up and gank the enemy. I was like, I'm going to lower this character's HP so the other character can actually kill her in a fight. One shot her. Like, that was not what I planned on doing.
But Giga Drill Break is really, really strong, and sometimes it's too strong.
It was my, like, fourth stage main character power.
As I have that exact same problem in Disgaea, because whoever gets the kill gets mana, which is not experience, but a resource you can spend to upgrade your skills. And, like, I want my weak-ass mages to get a lot of that so they have better spells. Like, I don't care if Fighter Guy gets it, because he can already punch things really good. But Fighter Guy is the one who is more likely to get it. And oftentimes I go up and like, okay, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a light tap there so that Galanthor, which is a randomly generated name I gave to one of my mages, can come up and like give you a light push. And nope, just like 5,000% critical. It's like getting that critical hit on a legendary in Pokemon. It's just really disappointing.
The in Super Robot Wars, you generally want to try and spread it. Well, it depends on how you're going about it. Because if a character gets 60 kills, they're an ace. And they unlock a certain, like, unique power.
Each character has unique ace power.
Some of them are incredibly useful, like Suzaku's Curse of the Gyas makes him incredibly powerful while it's active, but his makes it always on when he's an ace. To the use impaired, like Vivian from Crossand, where she just gives you a kind of mediocre item after every level.
Two more meta jokes I think you will enjoy, Tyler. Like I said, Demon Hero Wataru is like kind of the story they're following, and I've never seen it. As far as I can tell, it's what if Inuyasha was aimed at six-year-old boys instead of teenage girls, and the Tetsuya turned into a giant robot instead of a giant sword?
Okay, I like that premise.
So the first villains you fight from it are Svorgenager and Cruising Tom.
Me and Jeremy didn't get...
I'm sorry.
Me and Jeremy both didn't get both of them immediately.
I didn't get Svorgenager until I saw a picture of him. But then he's like, oh, Cruising Tom's going to be so mad.
Cruising Tom.
I did not get Cruising Tom immediately. It took me a while. I was talking to Jeremy on Saturday after that, and then I had the revelation. Oh, I get it. I'm an idiot.
And the mooks from that series are like these mindless drones. And one of their lines is, oh no, I'm about to become nothing but money and experience points.
Yeah, they're pretty. Those are pretty great.
That's also really good.
Yeah, another one is like, my hit points have been down to single digits.
On a related note, have you guys considered playing Disgaea?
Yes.
Because it's a good
game.
You
do realize I own Disgaea 5, right?
So do I.
Oh, have you played it yet? Oh, yeah, that's right. You played it for a while, right?
I haven't yet.
Well, never mind.
So, yes, I have considered playing Disgaea, Tyler.
Is the main character Laharl?
Probably not.
Did you not beat it?
No.
Oh, well, never mind then. Did you do what I did and get distracted in the item world for 5 hours and said then I had...
No, I think something else came out. Might have been Cuphead came out.
Fair enough.
Which I still haven't beaten.
All right, so that's the only thing I've been playing because I have had no life lately. Zach, have you been playing anything else?
I have had a life. I played a little bit of League of Legends yesterday, but...
Wait, let's go back a step because you started that with, I have had a life, and then you proceeded to say, I've been playing League of Legends.
That's my life.
Okay.
I play video games.
I'm just want to make sure.
Tyler, I play video games page. With my free time. I don't talk to people.
I mean, I don't talk to people necessarily so much as I exist in the same space as people.
I don't interact with people.
Okay. That's general enough that I'll accept it. Anyway, League of Legends.
Yeah, and I'm nothing special. I played it. They announced the new champion, who I don't think is going to work where they're putting him.
Where are people going to take him? The jungle? Or is that where they're trying to put him?
No, they're putting him as... He's a support. He's being designed with the idea of him being a support, but he is an assassin. So he will be played mid lane.
Yeah, that tracks.
Not support, because supports and assassins do two different-ish things, and supports don't need a lot of gold. Assassins need to snowball, get ahead, so they need a lot of gold.
Is assassin, like, now recognized
spot? It's always been one.
It's okay. Like a sub-spot. It's like a type of mage.
Gotcha.
It's one that kills people fast.
They
it's
generally
what Faker
go
made his name on.
They generally go mid lane. Usually the assassin's job is to murder the AD carry, which is why I hate them. Most AD carries hate assassins because their entire existence is to kill me.
How do you mitigate that?
A good support.
Yeah, don't die.
Thanks.
You follow the advice of Thor and say, only if I die.
Immobile AD carries generally don't do very well against assassins, which is why I hate them, because I usually play a lot of immobile AD carries.
Anything else, Zach?
Not really. It's just I've been playing a lot of Super Robot Wars. I think I'm like 14 or 15 levels ahead of you.
Yeah, probably. Tyler, what have you been playing since you don't have a PS4 and can't enjoy Lelouch and Ange hanging out?
That's fair. Mostly I've been playing work too much. In my free time, though, I guess I did have a game night on Saturday that wasn't technically work.
Yeah, it felt like unfortunately work, we couldn't come. Why did it feel like work?
Because I had to like clean the house and then like entertain a bunch of people. And like, so we accidentally split into two parties, which was kind of intentional. But like one of them took the downstairs and one of them was upstairs. And like, that's not how I wanted that to go at all. It was effort, man. It was effort. Glad we did it, though. Anyway, what I have been doing on my free time is, because I had a bunch of people over, Ed stayed the night on Sunday? Saturday, there we go. And we had to go out for a team meeting for a stupid run in the wilderness that we're doing in a few weeks.
That does sound really dumb.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. I did it last year and got 0 hours of sleep over 2 days, but also ran a half marathon.
I stand by my
Neither of these sound like a good thing, now that I'm saying out loud. You split the marathon up into, or the half marathon up into pieces, and also there's a lot of alcohol involved.
Yes, yeah, I don't drink.
Yeah, well, that's problem number one, Zach. So we had to go out to do a thing, and then because we were out doing a thing, Katie and Alex went out and did another thing, so our schedules didn't overlap at all. So Ed and I were at my house for like 2 hours, and like, I know, we should play a video game. And then I found that I have like no like couch co-op games.
It's because they're a lot more rare.
I do have Overcooked. Ed is not a fan of it.
Oh.
I tried playing it with Ed and Alex, and Alex was like into the premise, but she's not that good with video games, just kind of generally. And Ed was really not into the concept, and we had Katie trying to fill the role that Alex was filling for us. She's not good at that.
It went way worse
than when we played it.
I liked playing that game.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and you guys are good at it, which I am now appreciating. So I went around for a while, and like, last time he was over, we played Risk of Rain, and I think we both got our fill of that. So I'm like, what could I randomly pick up? And I had heard things, although I couldn't remember what, about Ender the Gungeon. I'm like, well, this has couch co-op, let's do that. And what I'll say is it's a great game, but the couch co-op is not great, because the second player is limited to one character specifically, and if either of you dies, a chest that maybe contains loot now contains your friend. Although it is great, because if you open up a chest containing your friend, they pop out, and it makes like a party popper, like one of the noise things.
Noisemakers is what those are literally called.
Well, that's a really bad name for them,
yes,
because
it's too descriptive.
It's accurate, but also lots of things make noise. Anyway, and also confetti pops out when you say them.
So is it not split screen?
No, it's a shared screen, and it kind of follows first player, although most screens are only about one screen in size. So it works a lot like that one old game, Saturday Night something, I want to say.
Is it like Binding of Isaac, where each room is a separate thing?
Yeah, basically. And then you can go back through previous rooms. So you're wandering a procedurally generated dungeon and picking up various guns of various types. My favorite thus far is a beehive. It just shoots out bees.
Bees!
And they home in on their target and sting them until their target swats them to death, which is nice. They're great. It's an excellent boss killer, because you can just stand in the end of the room and kill them. It's kind of a bullet hell. It's actually very similar to Binding of Isaac. I forgot that game existed, so thanks for reminding me for that comparison. My second favorite gun thus far is the lowercase letter R, which says the word bullet as it fires the word bullet at people, which
is
pretty good.
It sounds like a Kingdom of Loathing gun.
Yeah, it is very much a Kingdom of Loathing
gun. Wow.
A lot of the guns are jokes or like random nerd or pop culture references, which is nice. It is also brutally difficult and just a lot of fun overall. It's got a nice aesthetic. Like, it's a game I'm spending a lot of time on right now, but I suspect I'm going to burn out on it fairly quickly.
Gameplay-wise, it's basically a bullet hell, right?
Yeah,
it's lots of procedurally generated RPG-ish stuff.
Yeah, it's a bullet hell where you don't move nearly as fast as most bullet hells. And to compensate for that, you get a dodge roll where you are invincible in the first half of the dodge and vulnerable and moving slow in the second half of the dodge. It's a fun game. I really like it a lot. You have four different character classes, and I complained at first about the co-op character being, I guess, the only thing that the second player can play. But really, they're all more or less interchangeable, because as soon as you get a second gun, it's all the same thing. So
I've heard only good things about it.
Yeah, and it's definitely good. Aesthetically, it's pretty spot on. Like, the enemies are these adorable little bullets that have guns that are firing at. Like, the lore is this giant interspace bullet landed on a planet and turned everything on the inside of that planet into some sort of gun-themed thing. So you got a bunch of, like, cute bullet guys. There are bats that are bullats. Everything's a pun. It's fantastic. I highly recommend picking it up. I'm only sad that it doesn't support, like, good internet play, because it seems like a fun way to kill some time with some people.
I saw you playing that yesterday, because I was surprised, number one, that you were online again. So I looked this game up and was like, what the hell is Into the Gungeon? I didn't really do a whole lot of looking into it because I was doing other things at the time, but it was like, all right, whatever. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a roguelike, like a pretty hard roguelike. Hard as in crunchy, as opposed to soft roguelike like Rogue Legacy. You do not get better over time. You do, however, get money that you can use to buy new weapons and stuff that may show up in the dungeon later. So it's actually kind of like Slay the Spire in that respect, where the game doesn't necessarily become easier, you just unlock more options. The way the game gets easier is you get better at it, which is how I like it.
You get good.
Yeah, you get good, which is how I like my games, is you get good. And it is really hard. I have not yet managed to be able to kill the third of, I think, six bosses.
The thing that, when you mentioned that, sprung to mind is, why didn't you play Cuphead with Ed?
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that. I think he's already played it. I haven't finished it yet.
Also, I've been told that game gets harder on co-op and not easier.
Really?
But I think it does depend a lot on your partner.
Is it just because they're more distracting?
Yeah, there's way more stuff on screen for you to lose track of your character by.
I'm currently kind of stuck on that one, too. But it's also because I fell off of it a little bit.
Now that my brother is back in town, maybe I will finish it with him.
I am very much looking forward to playing Dark Souls when it comes out.
Yeah. That's the real reason I'm trying to rush through Super Robot Wars X, so I can get right on that Dark Souls train when it comes into town.
Yep, I am probably also going to hop on that
Dark
Souls train.
Which is, what, the 25th?
I believe so.
Hey, you know something that I played recently that I finally remembered to start is I played Pokemon.
Oh, cool. I played a little bit of that last week and didn't talk about it.
Oh, I kind of forgot about that again. Because
how far did you get?
I got through the first gym.
Okay, so I'm still a little bit ahead of you.
Yeah, with my sweet, I can't even remember its name. I hate the grass type starter in this game, by
really?
The way.
I like Turtwig. He's definitely the worst of the three, but I feel like Gen 4 is a real solid generation when it comes
that
to
is true.
Like, I like him a lot more than Chespin.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's no Chespin. I was trying to remember his name. Bespin? Is that it? No.
X and Y had two real good starters, and Chespin. Whereas, while I do feel like Piplup and Chimchar are way ahead of Turtwig, I like a Turtwig.
That
he
is
evolves
true.
Into a Yggdrasil.
You know, the main reason why I haven't been playing Pokemon is because all the mobile games I play are currently like going through events and stuff.
Yep.
Gotta awaken that UI Goku.
Yeah. God, that's going to be a pain in the ass.
And God Goku's to be his friend.
Also,
that's going to be a pain in the ass because I'm going to have to spend so much time on that event. That's a hard as balls event.
And so, is that the one you were playing right before we started recording?
Yeah.
The other thing I've been playing, although nothing really new to say about it, is Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. I haven't had a whole lot of time to dump on it, but it is still a very good iteration of both of those games independently.
So speaking of iterations of Capcom games, we played Mega Man 3 Roman Numerals for Game Boy.
That's actually a subtitle. Mega Man 3, the Roman Numerals.
Yes.
You get to fight one man.
The Julius Caesar story.
So here's the good news. I'm pretty sure there's only one more Game Boy Mega Man game. I could be wrong. There could be two.
I'm glad they stopped making those.
They stopped making Mega Man in general.
They're pretty good for Game Boy games. Like, if you could do a lot worse in a pre-Pokemon world when it comes to Game Boy games.
I guess. I didn't start playing things on Game Boy until Pokemon, so...
Yeah, neither did I, but there were rough times, and then Zelda came out, and that was pretty good, and a few other things were on its heels, and then it was real rough times until Pokemon, and people were like, you can make how much money making a Game Boy game?
I'm kind of sad.
You just have to make good ones, it turns out.
I'm kind of sad we can't play Metal Walker, but at the same time, I don't want to revisit that game because it's probably not nearly as good as I remember.
What even is that?
It was a Game Boy game.
Where
you had a pet robot. That could be customized, and as you gathered more parts and stuff, it could do more and more cool things.
Was it like a Pokemon ripoff?
You didn't catch more, like, robots.
Yeah, but, like, that style of combat?
I don't remember. Okay. I have very fond memories of the game, I don't remember the game really well.
We have those Metabots RPGs that are 100% Pokemon ripoffs that we can play.
They're actually pretty good, apparently.
That's what I hear. I'll believe it when I play it.
I don't normally feel like I have games added to my list of stuff I need to play, but that just reminded me I need to finish playing Hacker's Memory as well.
Yeah. I need to play the first one.
I'm adding more and more games to a list of games I want to finish and beat.
Like, we need to finish that one co-op puzzle horror game yet. I wanted to say We Were Alone. I'm like, that's not right. That's not it.
But Mega Man 3 is a Mega Man Game Boy game. The major, I guess, advancement is they've added the charge shot because they've got some stuff from the regular Mega Man 4, which is when he picked it up there. Unfortunately, you still have all the trouble with the charge shot from the base Mega Man games where it alleviates... Is that a word? Did I use the right word?
Alleviates? Obsoletes or obliviates the other ones because you don't want to use the special weapons, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Alleviate is not the way.
No,
obviate.
Obviate. There we go.
Yep, obviate.
It obviates a lot
obliviate
of
obliviate is
weapons.
A Harry Potter spell.
That would. I recently watched one of the CinemaSins on a Harry Potter movie, or one of the Harry Potter movies, so that's probably where that came into my head.
Those seem real easy to sin too, because Harry Potter breaks down real fast when you take a magnifying glass.
I think it was actually the that spin-off one was the most recent one I watched.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, so I don't know. I saw the trailer for the next one. It was like, you like Dumbledore, right? I'm like, yeah, could take him or leave him.
Well, imagine what he was like in the 50s in America for some reason. Yeah, I know. Whoop, woo.
No, it's basically what if he was M? And he called new character to his mission. Is like, Bond, I need you to go do this. It's obviously a trap. That's why I'm sending you. Anyway, speaking of M, Mega Man.
It has two M's.
It's not very good.
It's pretty okay, is what I'd say. It's very average, and it's got some real bad level design.
You're more this forgiving one. Towards it than I am, that's
yeah,
for
definitely,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. This is the first Mega Man game I didn't beat, because like I said, my life is garbage, and I wanted to play some Super Robot Wars, so I only got to Wily's Castle. But it's got some real bad level design. The first thing I'm going to talk about, there's lots of specific stuff to complain about, but all the levels are kind of too long, which makes them feel like they're not checkpointed correctly. And there's a lot of reusing of rooms. Like the other Mega Man games, this is a very grid-based game with individual screens of action.
Yeah, they don't scroll like in like Mario or something. It's just one screen transition to another.
And they're fond of like reusing screens, and especially transitionary ones, which makes you feel like you're getting lost or like you've been here already, even though you're not.
Yeah, there was one level in particular, and I can't remember which one. I think it might have been Frogman? Was he one?
Snake Man.
Yeah, it was a Snake Man. He definitely looked like a reptile man of some sort. I did not even pay attention to his boss intro. Definitely had a bunch of, like, drops, and then, like, I recognize this exact sequence of three screens. And
deja vu is always annoying to have in a game.
And especially, Mega Man is a game that expects you to keep doing it until you get good enough to get through, which I don't begrudge it for, but it is a lot worse when it's making you repeat challenges, when, like, repeating these until you can get through them without losing much health is already part of the challenge of the game. It really sucks when you're literally just repeating rooms. And like I said, it makes you feel like you're getting lost in this linear platformer where you only have one way to go.
I mean, I couldn't get that far, but partly because I'm terrible at these kind of games. And as Jeremy said, there's some bad level design specific instances. But anytime your player starts to wonder, how long is this level exactly? You've done something wrong, because at that point, they're not really having fun because they're looking to just being done with it. Because at the time here, you had to finish the level to get a password, because you couldn't save in the middle of the level. So the fact that they're this long on a mobile game,
I feel like Mega Man 3 started to hit that too. Like Mega Man was pretty solid in terms of its level length. Mega Man 2, pretty solid. Mega Man 3 started to drag on a bit. Mega Man 4, I feel like the levels just meandered forever.
This is the one that I really felt it. Like these levels feel very meandering. They're also unfair at points, like just straight up unfair. This is where Mega Man discovered that, hey, if we put an annoying-ass ceiling in the way, they have to jump exactly right. And hey, what if we put enemies in the gap, Castlevania-style, too, so they have to jump exactly right and contend with something on the way. And it's really unsatisfying, because even when you succeed at jumps like that, it often feels like you did it because you're cheating and not because you're doing the challenge.
Or you got lucky.
You're supposed to. The first level, by which I mean the level in the top left, because like all Mega Man games, you get to choose your level, is Sparkman's level, and it is the most BS Mega Man level I have ever seen.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It goes on forever, and one of the first things you have to deal with is this like lowered ceiling that will drop a block on you. If you destroy the block, it drops another one really fast, and there's a jump you have to do right after it on this ledge that's too small to avoid the block, or at least I couldn't. So the only way I could get through it was to let the block hit me, to like invincibility my way to the other side of it, and then make the jump.
So I tried that, and it hit some of me off the ledge once.
Oh, it did that to me quite a few times.
I tried sliding under it and slid too far. What I ended up doing is actually, you can actually run just barely fast enough if you're just holding forward the entire time. I did it on accident after trying it a couple times, and then I flubbed the jump afterwards anyway.
Just looked like it's one of those things that I immediately saw it, like it killed me the first time. I went, oh, okay, so I'm supposed to use the slide dash to get underneath it. So I slid dashed into the pit and was like, oh, you mother.
Yeah, and like, you can interrupt that with a jump, but you have to be expecting it and get it at like the exact right minute, because that's also a pixel perfect jump at the end of that.
Me and Jeremy kind of disagreed a little bit when we were talking about this before. I think any pixel perfect jump is BS, except if you're doing it for like a secret. Like if you have something set up so that if a player has to make a pixel perfect jump to get to a secret area, that's rewarding people who are getting good at your game. But for just as a baseline thing, include pixel perfect jumps, that's just being a dickish developer.
And I would certainly say it should not be about the third challenge in a level that goes on for a goddamn hour, because it's real easy to lose lives there. And I don't know if it's just me, but this Mega Man game seemed a lot stingier on pickups than other ones.
I only encountered a couple.
There's one on Ninja Man. Is that actually Shuriken Man? Is that his
Shadow
name?
Shadow Man.
Shadow. Okay. Of course. Of course. There's a series of jumps you have to make where these guys like parachute down. Those guys drop stuff like crazy for me. I actually farmed them for a while. But like, generally, yeah, it's pretty stingy.
I don't think this is actually one of the cores of Mega Man, but Ego Raptor talks about it, so it feels like one to me. The game is very punishing in that it's difficult, but it's also very generous with its pickups. They are random. But it's not rare to have an enemy drop health or even an extra life. And health helps you get past those enemies, and extra lives help you deal with the jumps that will kill you instantly. I only got one extra life the entire time I played this game.
Yep, me too, actually.
I didn't get any, but I also didn't play it as much as I think you guys did.
And I got very few health.
So I caused enemies to drop, I think, 4 health pickups. They were all small ones. 3 of them dropped down pits over the course of my gameplay. I got one of them when I needed it. It felt pretty singy. I got a lot of ammo boosts, but I didn't have any extra guns yet, so that wasn't terribly
useful.
Because
you have the charge shot, you really don't care.
Some of them are very useful against certain enemies, but they really are just for use against the bosses. You're like, ha, I have scissors, you lose.
Which is weird
because... You shouldn't have brought paper to this fight.
Like, X never really feels that way because the boss weaknesses are just so damn powerful, and like, they're actually useful in normal scenarios.
A huge part of X, and we've talked about this before, it's just a limitation of the controls, is in X you don't have to pause to change weapons, so it's a lot easier to just press the button to get to the weapon you want. It's a lot more forgiving. In addition to weapons, this game also has the Rush Coil and Rush Jet, which are kind of nice, but they aren't nearly as useful as in the console games, because there's just not the same degree of like long jumping segments. I think that's a result of it being on Game Boy and it needing to be more compact.
Probably.
Although there are some, in the second half, some Rush Coil segments that are kind of pixel perfect. There's one I know neither of you got to, because neither of you got to the second half of this game, where there's literally like a bed of spikes and the only way to get past it is to jump, deploy the Rush Coil, get back to the platform you went from on your first jump, jump to the Rush Coil, bounce, Rush Coil again, bounce off it, and get past the pit, which is actually kind of a cool solution, but you have to trial and error that.
Yep.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It's a lot more dickish than Mega Man usually is. Although, in a way, I kind of liked that, because it gave me a lot more of the, oh, I want to try this again, because there are some unfair pixel perfect jumps, but a lot of the challenges are just standard Mega Man challenges, so I felt like I could get through them. Yeah, also, playing it on a DS, I could save scum my way through things. And yeah, that gave it a lot more freedom to trial and error. Although I do think playing without that, like you would have to originally, you're just going to die a lot in this game. And because the levels are long, that's really punishing.
It just pissed me off, to be entirely honest with you. Like, I didn't get the feeling like I get in Cuphead or Dark Souls when I got a kill or when I get killed. It's like, I want to try that again. It was just like, that was just not fair. There's no way I could have possibly known that was there.
Yeah, I feel like the majority of the challenges I got to in this game were that. Like, I actually encountered some okay challenges. There's one, I think at the beginning of Sankman's level where you're first dropping down and there's like one of the jackhammer jumping robots. Oh, I know these guys because I saw them jump before. I could probably slide under that and like, I just screwed it up. Like, I'm sure I could have done it. I just screwed it up.
I just killed the dude with a charge shot.
Yeah, I mean, there are multiple solutions to the jackhammer guy problem. But a lot of them are just like, or like the dragonflies. Like, I found the solution to that problem. It's just really unsatisfying because it involves a lot of waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, those are a real bad enemy. There are these dragonflies that will circle behind you and then hit you. They take 3 hits or 1 fully charged shot. So, like, literally the solution is just to wait until they're right behind you, because they'll always go there and pause a minute and just shoot them then.
Yeah, they'll drop down to whatever level you're at. If you try to hit them on the way down, generally they'll hit you instead because they just drop down on top of you. So really, like, the answer is just, like, as soon as you see one, just stop where you are, wait, turn around, shoot them, continue, which is not very satisfying gameplay when you're trying to move forward.
Luckily, those enemies are only on 2 levels that are early on, but they're still not good enemies. We should talk about the Mans real quick, just because it is a Mega Man game, but they're not very notable. They are just copies from the NES games, and they work pretty much like they do there.
So what's the second set of Mans?
Oh, God, what are they? Drill Man?
Oh, they're all just Mega
Dust
Man 4?
Man. Yeah.
Okay.
Dust Man, Dive Man, his level is almost as bad as Spark Man's. Because it's got a lot of those mines you can jump into above you that kill
that
you.
That just kill you instantly?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was a problem in the actual Dive Man level. Was that his name?
It's a lot worse.
Okay.
In this one.
Probably because the screen is smaller.
Yes, exactly.
So the entire thing is shrunk.
So you have less room to maneuver between them. Who's the last man? It's not Y. Someone from Mega Man 4. It's
Pharaoh?
Not Pharaoh Man. It's not Pharaoh Man. He's the one I remember. I was like, ah, no Pharaoh Man in this? Whoever it was, I clearly didn't use their gun. Oh, it must have been one of the ones I beat without it. It's not Drill Man. It's not Dust Man. It's not Dive Man. Those are the ones I said. I don't know. There's a fourth man.
Clearly left such a impact on you that you cannot remember his name.
Yeah.
The trauma must be so great.
It wasn't Snake Man because he's in the first half. So I like this game, I think, more than either of you by quite a margin, but I still don't think it's very good. It's really sad that the Game Boy Mega Man so clearly peaked with their first one. Though I guess Mega Man really clearly peaked with the second one. So
Yep. Maybe
it's not to be a surprise when those games were developed at the same time.
It's just a very long slide down into what is now basically obscurity. Well, the series isn't even really obscure. It just doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we talk about it, the first Mega Man on the Super Nintendo was actually pretty good.
X or Mega Man 7?
7.
I haven't played 7, so.
It's pretty good. I thought a lot of stuff that came from 7 actually came from X. Turns out I was wrong, and I just played them around the same time. There are a lot of really cool weapons. There's a vampire power who fires springs for some reason. I didn't really get that, but it was pretty cool.
People seem to like 9 and 10, even though I haven't played them.
Yeah, neither have I. Maybe I should. I like me some Megas Man.
No one likes Mighty No. 9. No one. Maybe Keiji Inafune.
Oh, okay.
I sure as hell don't like it.
Were you guys around when I was complaining about the existence of Red Ash?
I don't think
so. Okay. So that was another Keiji Inafune project. That was a...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what Red Ash is. Go on.
Yeah, well, I just found
explain out... Explain it for our audience.
Yeah, I just found out that Red Ash exists, which is a successor to one of my favorite quirky childhood games, Mega Man Legends. It's basically like, what if that game continued, but also had a budget?
China wants to pay for it, or wanted to.
Yeah, and I don't... Like, the last news I could find about this game, because it had an unsuccessful Kickstarter, and then some company in China decided to, like, pitch the rest of the money for it, and then I haven't seen any news updates. I tried looking for them since, like, early or mid-2017... Sometime.
Where's the rant?
What?
But you said you were gonna rant about Red Ash.
Did I? I mean, I want it to exist, and it's not going to exist, and that's sad. They apparently made like a standalone anime that's like a 5-episode thing. So
apparently, there's supposed to be like some Dragon Ball Super Heroes thing sometime in June.
Do we think Bloodstained is gonna be good?
Because
I hope so, but it's the Castlevania guys.
Oh, yeah.
I can't work at Konami anymore because they don't want to make video games.
They don't want to make money anymore, right? I don't remember.
Project.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be good.
Okay.
I have high expectations for that one.
It's just after Yooka-Laylee and Mighty No. 9.
Yeah, you guys have had one string of disappointment after the other.
You know, Yooka-Laylee's
just mediocre.
Yeah, Yooka-Laylee was exactly what I expected it to be. So,
I'm still batting 1,000, so...
I mean, people seem excited for Bloodstained, and I'm just like, it doesn't seem to work. But that said, it's been a long time since we had one of those Castlevania games.
So. He also seems like he knows what he's doing.
That's true.
And Keiji Inafune seemed much more like an idea guy, and it seems like he did not put together the right people to implement on his behalf.
He also, like, he's the one responsible for this. Mega Man! Mega Man! Press A to jump, Mega Man!
Yeah.
We have to stop Dakwa Wabi.
I forgot fair, about
I
that
I do
video.
Not think he directed the voice actors in that game, but...
Elmer Fudd is Dr. Light.
I thought that was a parody until about halfway through the video, so...
Alright, so we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where we list all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a beloved game by a guy who could probably kickstart a decent game. At the bottom is City Connection, a game with cars in it. In the dead center is Blades of Steel, and two slots above that, we have Mega Man 2 for Game Boy. I actually found this game a bit more interesting than Mega Man 2, which I just found to be very boring and blasé. Almost because of the bad level design, I had more fun with Mega Man 3, but I expect both of you to go the other way.
We should make sure we're talking about Mega Man Roman numerals.
Please do not sue us. The real Mega Man 2, that beautiful gem, is way up at number 24.
Okay. Wow. I'm surprised.
I think this game is worse.
Yeah, and I actually think this game is a little bit worse. I feel like the level doesn't... Like, Mega Man Roman Numeral 2 has, I guess, kind of blasé feel overall. It does have Metal Blades, though, and that's awesome. The problem is, like, this game was actively frustrating in level design, and it has hardware slowdown.
It's got the hardware slowdowns, the frankly unfair level design. I don't mind hard level design, but when it's unfair level design...
So I guess
that's different.
I'm not super set on that though. So what do you think actually puts two above this?
You mean three above two?
Yeah, sorry. What do you think puts this game above two?
It's honestly just that this game gave me, like, because it had hard challenges, I wanted to meet them. Which in Mega Man 2 I kind of sleptwalk my way through.
Okay, that's a fair argument. I feel like a lot of the challenges in this game were kind of
Jordan Zach's point that's the case is not untrue. I just found a challenge better than no challenge. Because I guess
no,
where
that's
my
fair.
Opinion is.
I mean, that's why Ghosts and Goblins isn't the very bottom of the list.
Well,
right?
as a thing, I always have to compare my, you know, the gold standard of platformers in my personal opinion against all these kind of things and decide, then kind of tier them out after that.
Is your gold standard Super Mario Brothers 3?
Oh. I would argue Cuphead isn't a platformer, but that's a debate for another time.
It's the closest thing that I play on a regular basis, but this game is considerably
worse. This is definitely worse than Cuphead. I'm not arguing this game's better than Cuphead.
I'm comparing like the base level designs and all that stuff to it, and this game is worse than Mega Man 2 and how the two stack up against a much better game.
All right, so the next two platformers we have on the list are ones Zach didn't actually play, even though I think they're pretty comparable. So how do we think it compares to Super Mario Land for Game Boy?
I played that one.
Yeah. No, I'm skipping the two.
Okay. I was like, what?
I actually like Super Mario Land a lot more. That's another game that I like a lot more than you guys.
I do actually prefer Super Mario Land, though, pretty substantially.
I hate unfair challenge, so...
Now, I feel like the level design was boring, but, like, mildly interesting. It was maybe a little too easy.
I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, no, I'm qualifying my viewpoint instead of just, like, all unanimously agreeing.
Okay.
It makes for more interesting audio, Zach.
Really? I thought my shrugs picked up perfectly.
So, the next platformer we got is Wonder Boy in Monster Land, which is another platformer that's just boring as sin. So, I think Mega Man 3 is a lot better. What are you guys' feelings on that one?
You'll have to remind me which one this is.
That's the one we called Mediocre Mario in our episode. That it's before the... You have to get fruit because you have a stamina meter that's going down. You're a caveman. I know these are horribly generic things.
Every video game
is about a caveman that needs
fruit. It's the one where you get a skateboard later.
Yeah, that's the one that is later Adventure Island.
Later? Oh,
well,
okay.
It got remade as Adventure Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm on board. I thought this was the sequel to that.
They
that was quasi an RPG-ish.
Oh, wait. It is. I said the wrong thing. Wonder Boy is that one. I meant to talk about Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy in Monster Land is like one higher, and I read that.
Yeah.
That's my mistake. Wonder Boy. How do we think it compares to Wonder Boy?
I think favorably. Actually, Wonder Boy seems kind of like unfocused and disorganized to me.
It does have a... Mega Man 3 Roman numerals actually does have a focus. It's just... I guess making me rage is better than making me fall asleep.
And like... Okay. I prefer Mega Man's, like, focus, like, here's a screen, solve the screen design to the, like, Mario does, like, longer continuous things, but they're still pretty short. Monster Boy just kind of, like, meanders for
it
a while.
It lasts way too long.
Yeah.
So another 2D platformer that meanders and lasts too long is Aero the Acrobat. And I think it's better than that, because you get lost in, you just feel like you're lost in Mega Man 3. You are lost in Aero.
Scavenger hunts and gotcha moments for instant death are never a good combination.
Especially in an exploration game, right?
Yeah, because Aero had those cannons where, you know, you could accidentally kill yourself by firing yourself into spikes. There's no way in hell you could have known were there. So I'd have to give it to Mega Man 3. All of its problems, you know, warts and all, I think Mega Man 3 is better than Aero.
So just as an aside, really quick, it just occurred to me that I was thinking, like, trial and error is the way you get around it, instant cannon death in Aero the Acrobat. Bat. And like, can you imagine the audience just watching this bat like fire himself out of a cannon iteratively to get to the right spot? Like, that would be the most boring aspect. I was thinking, like, slow and steady wins the thrilling acrobatic performance.
Right above Aero, a game I forgot was actually a platformer, Cybernator. That's the game where you're a mech.
And yeah, you're a Gundam.
Yeah. Cybernator's got a way better theme. But I think the...
That second level is kind of bullshit.
Yeah, and like the fact that when you die, it sends you back to the beginning, I think, in my opinion, just makes it worse than any Mega Man. And by beginning, I mean the beginning of the game. Mega Man, you're always... Once you beat a man, he's beaten.
I think I agree with Jeremy on this count.
I was actually going to give it to Cybernator.
I like the theme of Cybernator, but that second level is just... Unfair as hell challenge is not something
I don't even remember. Is it the asteroid thing?
Yeah, it's the asteroid field, which is basically impossible.
So right above that is actually Wonder Boy in Monster Land, the RPG-ish one that's kind of Zelda 2-esque. I like it a little more than that, too, because they both have, in my opinion, some unfair challenges. Wonder Boy has that, in Monster Land, has that real weird set of jumps kind of halfway through the second level that's just takes forever, and because you're on a time limit, it just means you're doing this slow, frustrating dance of death. But it does have those cool RPG elements, so.
It is also a little unfocused in theme, though. Like, you're without explanation, you're in Future Land and then Mummy Land.
I'd have to give it to Monster World, just because Mega Man is just iterating on something, and it's iterating worse on something that's already been out, whereas Monster Land is actually trying to do a little bit different.
So I wasn't expecting Zach to say that, so this is going to be an upset, because I actually kind of agree.
Okay.
I think Monster Land is more interesting.
I disagree, but that's a very fair argument.
I don't normally place innovation higher than actual gameplay mechanics, but given that Mega Man 3 Roman Numeral isn't particularly strong on gameplay mechanics either.
Okay, so Mega Man 3 Roman Numerals for Game Boy goes at number 163, above Cybernator and below Wonder Boy and Monster Land.
That is a spot.
Yeah, it's a, like, I want to say 50 spots below Mega Man 2. So,
you know, the more things we add to our list, the more meaningless the numbers are to me. I don't know what is in relation to anything else.
No, actually, that means a fair amount to me. What's weird is that looking at the number of games we played, I actually remember very specific details from every single game we've played, and, like, I don't know why that knowledge is in my head now. It's just there.
I have no idea. I can't remember half the games we've played.
Like,
I think if I looked at the list, I could probably remember.
Yeah, like, I can only do it when the list is in front of me. Someone's just like, hey, tell me the, like, 178th most mediocre game you've played for your podcast. I don't think I could pull that up, but...
Well, I could. I'd just say, give me a minute as I'm going to check our list.
Okay. From memory, Zach.
For all the people who are now curious, number 178 is Fantasy Zone.
Yep. I was actually going to say it was Fantasy Zone, although I thought it was Fantasy Zone Tears of Opa Opa. So
that's number 212.
Oh, wow. You liked it a lot worse, apparently.
All right. So speaking of games Zach won't remember, Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
Okay, so I actually kind of did some research ahead of time this time.
What?
I know. So I've been in kind of Metroidvania mood because I've been playing Axiom Verge, which is a pretty good Metroidvania. And I haven't played Castlevania in a while, and I need to get that issue out of my system. So I was going to do Castlevania, Circle of the Moon.
The game that everybody liked when it launched on the GBA because it was all they could play. And then when they revisited, they're like, it's so dark, I can't see what I'm doing. And that's all I know about Circle of the Moon.
Is that because it came out before the backlight?
Yeah, before the backlight. It was a launch title for GBA.
Ah,
thankfully, here in the future, we have backlighting.
Yes, on our Wii U's, where you can play this. So, next time on Last Time, let's shoot for the moon and hope that it doesn't fall on our planet.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2018. All games, movies, and other media mentioned in this podcast are copyright their respective owners. If you wish to listen to more episodes, visit us at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can see the entire archive. If you wish to get in contact with us, you can email us at ltobg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. This episode is over. Try listening to another one?